it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
Break up the Nats. They have won four in a row, a four-game sweep for the first time since they swept the Phillies in five games in September of 2019, barreling into the playoffs. Of course, that led to eventually the postseason and then making their World Series run. This time around, they are just at the end of April on the calendar, one and a half out of the wild card, after making quick work of the Marlins. And Toby, I'm sure a lot of people will try to dismiss this and say, oh, Miami's 6-24 and they're 2-15 at home. And don't get me wrong, this is a terrible ball club playing really bad baseball, and it's pretty outrageous that their record is what it is. But this is a team that's given the Nats fits even when they've been bad. The Nats could not buy a win against them over the last couple of seasons. So hard not to be impressed by them going and getting a four-game sweep.
Yeah, I mean, and the Nationals are supposed to be in that same tier for all intents and purposes, right? They're supposed to be in that same sort of area where this should have been an even matchup. I mean, the Nats on paper were probably better, but it's not like it's something where you expected a four-game sweep. So you got to give the boys credit. They went down there and battled, and like you said, you know, it's a division rival that has seemed to always give the Nats fits, and luckily they went down there and took care of business, and in a fun way to watch, right, Grant? I mean, all over the base paths, running all over the place, hitting home runs. Like, it just looked like a good baseball team, and they're back to 500 now. And I think the proof is in the pudding that I know a lot of people freak out after one game and happened after opening day, but this is a team that is going to be like what we saw last season in the second half. That was a competitive ball club. Are they going to win, you know, 85 games? Probably not, but they're probably going to hang with a lot of ball clubs. We've seen them take series from the Giants, from the Dodgers. Now they sweep the Marlins. Like, they can go toe-to-toe with the good teams as well. So I think this season, you know, it's only 28 games in, but it's been a lot of fun already.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing to remember, especially with everyone, I'm sure, going to now be diminishing and belittling them getting to 500 here because they swept the Marlins in four after getting swept by the Dodgers. But they've actually won series against good teams. And one of the storylines before the season, if you go back, you remember, was how treacherous their early season schedule was. Like, that April was going to be particularly brutal. They had the Astros, and they've got the Rangers coming up now to finish. But, you know, the Dodgers and the West Coast trip where you're going out to San Francisco and just some, like, an enviable places to have to go and some pretty good teams that they were playing. And they got a chance. Right now, they're a game over 500 in April with one to play to have a winning month. You know, that was not on the bingo card. Forget what Vegas thought. I mean, the odds on this team's win total was like 65 or 66. And I'm not claiming victory here, but I think most of us, like real ones, knew that's pretty ridiculous. You could put some money down and probably win on that future bet. This, to me, is a low 70s win team. They're on pace, obviously, for 81, and I think they'll come back to earth here a little bit. It's early enough in the season that four games would go before this sweep. If you looked at the pace, it would have looked a lot different, right? But that having been said, I just think, you know, this is a 10-6 team on the road. They're scrappy. They are not a fun team to have to play. I think some of the young pitching, and we'll go through the report card here after, you know, a month into the season, but whether it's Jake Irvin, obviously Mitchell Parker, the contributions he's giving, you know, those guys have been a little better than expected. Trevor Williams has been marvelous. Mackenzie Gore, minus an outing, has been very, very good. So the rotation's been solid. The bullpen has mostly been, I would say, above average. Certainly the key ingredients to it, who you actually count on, not the underbelly that's going to get cut open every now and then. But it's been pretty good. And then your stars in the lineup, C.J. Abrams among them, have carried the day. So there's a lot to like here as this team's won 6 of 10 and is potentially going to be sitting on the right side of 500 as the calendar turns to May.
Yeah, and I think it's super fun because this is a ball club that going into the year, Davey talked about it in spring training, they were going to run all over the place and they were going to do all these different things, and they've carried it over. I mean, you know, as we taped this on Monday night, you got C.J. Abrams basically stealing home on a wild pitch. You had Trey Lipscomb steal home on a double steal with, I believe it was Ildemaro Vargas or someone earlier in the series against the Marlins. And it wasn't just this series. They've done all sorts of things. They've bought into this identity that, you know, they're not going to be a mashing team, even though C.J. Abrams now has 7 home runs. They're not going to be some team that's top 5 in the league in homers, so they're going to make up for it by Jacob Young stealing bags all over the place. Lane Thomas, before he got hurt, was stealing bags all over the place. And C.J. really hasn't even been able to join the party because of all his extra base hits. So I think it's been really cool to see this team see that its identity is going to be being very aggressive on the base paths, and they've lived up to it.
The Nationals have 52 stolen bases right now. Only one other team has more than 33 in Major League Baseball. I mean, pretty astounding how aggressively they've been running, and not just with the frequency, but the success rate as well, which we'll get into in just a bit. But let's talk about C.J. Abrams. Homered again tonight, as you mentioned, his 7th of the season. He is now at 100 at-bats, 11 walks and 12 strikeouts. 6 steals. You know, frankly, that's really low compared to expectations, but it's hard to steal second when you're constantly in the dugout on a home run or at second or third on an extra base hit. He's got 5 doubles and 4 triples. So on the season, 16 of his 30 hits are for extra bases, over half of his hits, which is why he's slugging .634, top 5 in the league. His OPS is over 1,000. His batting average is sitting at .297. You know, last year it took him over 70 games to hit 70 home runs. He's done it now this season in game 25. We are seeing, you know, we've over talked about him as a star and as a superstar, but we are seeing the beginning now of he's playing not at a star level, but a legitimate elite MVP caliber level. I mean, that's not overstated. Now, he's not going to win an MVP award on this Nationals team this season. But I guess my point is, if he plays at this level on a first division team, that's how you win an MVP award. We're talking about a guy who is on pace to go out and hit, you know, close to 40 home runs and steal 35 bases or whatever it is. Like, this is pretty incredible performance for him. And I think people just forget, like, last year was good growth. He went from a 600 OPS in 2022 to a 715 OPS. But you're seeing now another monster leap here. And I have no delusions of him having a 1,000 OPS for the year or staying on this, you know, 7 homer pace, which would mean he hits 45 home runs. But if he hits 28, let's say, if he even 25 and he steals, you know, 45 bases and his OPS is 900, you know, that is a all-star, really special season. And if he could string those together, you're talking about one of the best players in baseball.
Yeah, I think it's just so encouraging because if you've watched him, you know, you can't even see just obviously his numbers look fantastic, but just watching him, it looks like it's something that's repeatable. You know, it's a consistent approach, and basically any knock you could have on him from last year, he's kind of worked on, and he's hitting fastballs, he's hitting lefties, he's hitting line drives. He's pulling the ball a little bit more just because I think that's his natural motion. But he's doing things that are sustainable. Like, if you can hit the fastball, that's always going to play. If you can hit lefty-lefty, that's always going to play. If you can hit line drives all over the place, sometimes you'll hit into hard luck. But for the most part, that's good process, and balls are going to fall, and occasionally you're going to hit them over the wall. And just you look at the homer on Monday night, that's an absolute laser to right field that – yeah, sometimes that's just going to ring off the wall for a double, but you can live with those because that's something that you feel is consistent. And so I think that's the most encouraging part. It's not something where it's like, well, he's getting away with some of this stuff. It's kind of just good luck. No, I mean, this is stuff that feels sustainable just because of the way he's swinging the bat, his consistent approach, and it's come over to his defense as well. For the most part, he's thrown the ball very well from short over to first, which is something that I was concerned about losing Dominic Smith. We talked about it before the season. He bounced a lot of balls over there. It hasn't been as much of a case this year. And so I think just the overall confidence level has grown to a point where he feels like he's a dude in this league and he's playing like it. And it's really cool to see, because obviously we've talked about him. We talked about him before the season. We're going to talk about him basically every pod of this season. Like, we're fired up about CJ Abrams. MLB Network is fired up about CJ Abrams. That's the kind of recognition that's really cool to see for him to get, because he clearly put in work this offseason and he's showing out early this season, and he's getting recognition not just by us, but nationally as well.
Well, they should be talking about him every night. I mean, he is playing at a level really only exceeded at shortstop by Mookie Betts right now in all of baseball. I'm glad you mentioned left on left, Toby, because I think that's super important. He is hitting 400 against lefties right now, 405, 13 for 32 on the season, 3 of his 7 home runs left on left, 9 of his 17 RBIs left on left. He has an 875 slug, a 1316 OPS against left-handed pitching. You know, stuff that just frankly you shouldn't really be doing, but he is. And I think that's maybe the most important part of his season, is for a young left-handed hitter to have started the year 13 of 32 against left-handed pitching really is incredible.
Yeah, and I think Franny was really good on the broadcast tonight. You know, he obviously hits the home run earlier in the game, but his last at-bat, he hits just a line drive. It ends up being an out to left field, but it's a lefty-lefty slider down and away, and he stays with it, hits a line drive out there. Like, if he can continue to do those sorts of things, obviously that one didn't end up in a hit, but that's what I'm talking about, where the process just looks so good for CJ right now, where sometimes that's going to go over the wall. Sometimes it's going to hit off the wall. Sometimes it's going to be a double down in the corner. Like, those sorts of things seem repeatable. And that's what I think is so encouraging for CJ, is it doesn't seem like a flash in the pan where, you know, he just got hot for a month. Because we saw that last year with him. He got hot in the month of July and he was awesome the rest of the year, but it wasn't to that same extent. I'm not saying every month is going to be like this month of April for him, but it seems a lot more sustainable, where it's like he grew as a player as opposed to he's just on a hot streak.
Yeah, I think that's well said. Also of note for the Nationals here in this stretch has been Jacob Young, who I'm going to hurt myself patting myself on the back here for a moment, but this has been my guy since he was in Fredericksburg as really a non-prospect. And I have no real thoughts that he is, you know, even maybe a starter ultimately on this team. Because the way that you want it to work out is James Wood, Dylan Cruz, Robert Hassel, you know, somebody, maybe it's still Lane Thomas or what have you, like that their outfielders are not Jacob Young, and that he's an extra piece. He's a speed and defense guy who can spell guys a couple days a week and start on the weekends or whatever. But I've just loved this guy's game. You know, listed 5'11". I don't know if he's that tall. Maybe 187, 190 pounds. Not going to hit a lot of power, but, you know, probably 8, 9, 10 home runs over 162 games with the baseball wound as tight as they are in the big leagues. But he's hitting 330 right now. It's a lot of contact. The ball's constantly in play. He does not have a home run yet, or in his career for that matter, in now about 170 at-bats. But he is hitting 325. And as I said, his career average is now up to 281. You see him at a 760 OPS. I haven't looked up recently what the league average is, but generally it's, you know, 715, 720, something like that. You know, you're talking about being 40 points above a league OPS average at this point. And, you know, he's done it in a way where now he's starting to get to play every day. That wasn't happening initially, and so it's hard. But if you look at this four-game series against the Marlins, 2-for-3, 2-for-4, 3-for-5, 1-for-4. If you look at his stolen base chart in this series against the Marlins, he has stolen 2 bases in a row in 3 straight games, 6 in his last 3. He already on the season has 12 steals without being thrown out. In fact, he's got one of the longest streaks in the history of Major League Baseball. And the new rules obviously help here. But he's 25 for 25 dating back to last year in stolen base attempts. He's got Trey Turner-ish type speed. Just a blast to watch. I love the kid. He just plays so hard. Hair on fire. My kind of guy. 24-year-old who's really, I think, fans have taken note on. It's just, it's hard not to root for a guy who plays the way he does. And, is undersized and is kind of the non-elite prospect who comes up and gives you everything he's got.
Yeah, he's perfectly encapsulates what this team right now is all about, right? Just a guy working hard, going out there and putting it all on the line and stealing bags all over the place. And, you know, I don't know what his future is because, like you said, eventually down the line it's going to be the prospects taking up the outfield. But this is a guy that for right now, and maybe even into when Wood gets called up, maybe when a Cruz can find a spot batting in the 8 or the 9 hole, being that guy that hits around 250, gets on base, and steals bags. I mean, this is something that's nice for C.J. Abrams, where last year it was like, all right, C.J.'s leading off. There's no one ever on base. Now it's, oh, Jacob Young's on base. And he had one tonight where C.J. got a stolen base because Jacob Young took off for third. Catcher couldn't even get a throw off. And so C.J. pulls the double steal and gets the easiest steal of his career following in the steps of Jacob Young there. So I think just having him on the baseball team, a gritty guy like that, is nice to have. I mean, and guys can carve out careers like that. You know, I mean, Adam Eaton, by the time he came to the Nationals, Eaton's better than what Jacob Young is. But those kind of guys have a spot. You know, those kind of guys that are gritty, can play some good defense. They don't have to hit 30 home runs. They're not the guys hitting in the middle of the order, but they're just the glue guys, right? They're the role players batting 7, 8, 9 that can make a difference for your ball club, especially with a guy with Jacob Young's speed that even if he's not in the lineup, he can make difference just becoming in a pinch running and stealing a bag. I mean, he's been so impressive to watch and fun to watch, and how can you not root for him, like you said, with his story and a guy that really wasn't supposed to be anything. Now he's playing every day for the Nationals and batting over 300, batting 9th and stealing bags in front of C.J. Abrams. I mean, he's got to be having a blast, and it's a blast to watch him.
What I'm looking at here is that the league average OPS right now is 702, which would actually be the lowest since 2014 when it was 700. Now, that also is, we're comparing the very beginning of the season and some of the cold weather and, you know, typically arms ahead of bats, right? So you want to wait and see what happens when the weather warms up in the last couple months of the season. Generally, the numbers will jump. But, 702 would be the lowest, you know, league OPS for a player since 2014. But I say that to tell you that right now, even though he's not hitting for a whole lot of power, you're talking about being almost 60 points above the league OPS average for Jacob Young, who's been tremendous. We got to mention the exploits here over the last 6 games of Nick Senzel, who was held in the yard in the 4th and final game of the series against the Marlins. But for Senzel, the former number 2 overall pick by the Reds, he had homered in 5 times in 5 games coming into play today. As we tape this after the game against the Marlins on Monday, he went 1-for-3 and walked. He was on base twice, another productive game. He almost hit another home run, though. He just missed what would have been his 6th in 6 games. And what's hilarious about this for Nats fans that maybe don't know a ton about Senzel, that the knock on him mostly has been that he hasn't hit for any power. I mean, in Cincinnati, he played at Great American Ballpark. As a rookie, he hit 12 homers in sub 400 at-bats, which is a decent, you know, power rate, 427 slug. He's never done that again. His highest slug since then was 399 last year when he homered 13 times, a career high, in 300 at-bats. And that was you know, close to a 20 to 25 homer pace if you play 162 games. But when you play the hot corner, that's nothing to write home about. And also, you know, again, he's homered. This is his home run counts by year, 12, 2, 1, 5, and 13 times. So as a top 3 pick who plays the corner infield, like, that's not going to butter the bread. But for him to have gone on this tear where he had 2 homers on Sunday, you know, 5 and 5 games, since getting healthy, and he's dealt with a couple different injuries, it's been pretty amazing to watch for the 28-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect to see this out of Nick Senzel, right? I mean, it's been really cool to see, and this is another one of those Rizzo signings where he's not a long-term, you know, option at third base, but you just see if you got something. And over this last week, he's been fantastic. So see if he can keep it up. I mean, he's got the pedigree, but we've kind of seen throughout his career that he hasn't lived up to that. But I mean, he just missed a homer on Monday night. He hit one off the wall, and He was, I believe he was the home run that put the Nationals in front after they were down 7-0. He came back and he was clutching that game. So maybe the Nats just need to play the Marlins all the time and they'll have the best stats in the world. But either way, it's not like it was just in the, you know, the Marlins series either. He hit some home runs outside of that. So it's cool to see what he's been doing. He's a guy that, I mean, we were kind of like, well, do we really need to see him with Lipscomb? But they're finding ways to get Lipscomb still in the lineup, get Senzel in there, and Senzel's been awesome.
Yeah, he has been. A few things about Senzel. He's hitting .230. His expected batting average is actually about .260. The OPS, though, because of all the home runs, is going to be high. So it's .943, still a limited amount of work, right? He's only had 40 plate appearances, like 38 at-bats, something like that, with a couple walks mixed in there. But he doesn't qualify for any of the, you know, metrics that you could look up because he just hasn't played enough. But if you look at some of where he would be with percentiles, like expected slug would be way up over 95th percentile, barrel percentage, you know, same thing up into the 90s. So that the sweet spot, like he's run into some really loud contact, expected wOBA's huge. He still has issues and he's going to with like some swing and miss, his whiff percentage, K percentage. He doesn't really walk. He's never going to be a guy that like doesn't chase. But I just think it's interesting that essentially he is running into a lot of very, very loud sweet spot contact right now. He's pulled 4 of the 5 home runs to left. He went the opposite way, right center for the other. And then, the spray chart on the season is 9 total hits. So it's 5 home runs. And then he's got, I think, 3 singles, a couple the other way. But basically, it's like it's a hilarious spray chart where he's got more balls that have left the yard than that have stayed in. But it's been a heck of a week and a good sign. You know, you get him going. They're able to get Lipscomb back up with the Gallo injury. Now you're able to get a little creative and move some guys around. Lipscomb's still getting opportunities at first base. You know, you're able to DH if you need to. So I care about Senzel from the standpoint of if he becomes trade bait, that's a huge win.
Yep.
Same as Winker, right? If you end up deciding, like, we found something, we're going to keep this guy, and I don't think you would with any of the veterans because it's not Lane Thomas, who's very young, you know, and I don't mean anymore as much as, like, his first year here a couple years back, where you go, we could actually keep him. It's cheap. He's controllable for a few years. These guys are older and have, you know, lesser track records than Lane, who was mostly in the minors before that. So you kind of wanted to kick the tires. But Winker's got an .830 OPS, even though he's cooled off here. Now you're talking about 15 walks to 23 strikeouts. He's hitting about .280. He's getting on base almost 40% of the time, a team high. Like, Jesse Winker's had a hell of a start to the season here in the first month. He is overperforming. If you can continue to get power from Senzel, you know, he is a trade chip. So if you're Mike Rizzo, you're feeling really good about that, even though it hasn't all worked out with Gallo hitting .120 and on the shelf.
Well, and I think Senzel more so than Winker. Like, Winker's been an all-star before. I think that was kind of maybe an aberration or an anomaly of ways for him that season, and the Reds weren't necessarily that great. He had a really good year, but I think, you know, he's more of a guy that's kind of what you're seeing right now, maybe a little bit less than this. But so I don't think it's a huge surprise. I think it's something where he was injured and he came back, and now you're seeing, okay, now it's a healthy Jesse Winker. I think if Nick Senzel gives you something where you could trade him, that's fantastic. I think all they were planning on is they were going to sign Nick Senzel to play third base until Brady House was ready, whether it was this year or next year. I think that's all they were planning on. They figured they'd get a guy that can just hang out and fill a spot. But if they can get something for him, I think that'd be making up even more, because you took a shot on Gallo. We've talked about that. You take a shot on Winker, but seeing Winker get back to being this player, like, we've seen stretches of this from Winker before. 5 home runs in a week for Nick Senzel is not something we've seen a whole lot of. So if
more than he's had in almost every season in his career.
So if you can see just little bits and pieces of this throughout the rest of the year, I mean, think about last year. Jamer Candelario is brought in. You're expecting just a lot of doubles. He ends up hitting a lot of homers. You flip him, you get DJ Hurz, Kevin Mate. They're not the top prospects in your organization, but you can add them in. Hurz is going to help out at the big league level at some point this year. Mate's been playing well, so you think you can just add one or two prospects each and every time. That's how you do it, and that's the perfect kind of guys you sign, and this, you know, timeline for an organization. And then hopefully down the line, you know, DJ Hurz, whether he's a fifth starter, he's coming out of the bullpen, getting guys like that is how you fill in the holes for when Brady House and James Wood and all those guys are coming up to take their spots.
One other thing I would just want to point out about the power for the Nationals. Remember last year they were dead last for most of the year in home runs. And you and I have said many times they're not going to be one of the leaders in home runs, and that's certainly the case. You know, the Orioles have hit 45 bombs this year. I wonder what that number would be if they didn't ruin their left field fence, by the way. The Yankees have hit 37 home runs. The Nats have 27. I bring this up to say that, you know, the Cardinals and White Sox have 18 as a team. That's dead last. And the Nats are ranked 20th, you know, in a tie there with Toronto, basically for like 19th or whatever. But my point is to say they're a home run away from basically being like 17th, right in the middle of the pack in the big leagues in home runs. So when you're number one in stolen bases, which philosophically is kind of, they turned up the faders on that in a massive way, knowing they weren't going to hit a lot of home runs, I think it's got to be a pleasant surprise, you know, that they're going to close April at almost 30 home runs. You know, they couldn't have expected seven from CJ. Maybe you counted on a couple more from Gallo or something, but to get five from Senzel's, at least, you know, three, if not four more than you were probably banking on from him. So I just think collectively as a club, that's probably a good sign.